At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red and White Short Form Podcast with your host, myself, Cormac, and my co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how are we doing?
It's a good week, Cormac.
It is a good week.
We're coming off the back of a Manchester United victory against a, I go as far to say, an all right slash somewhat competent football club.
Damn,
it's a big week. It's a big week.
I mean,
how are you?
I'm good, man. It's a middling week, I think, for me as an Arsenal fan, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more. But we're now 5 games into the Premier League. So the league table is slowly starting to take some form. Still a little bit early, I think, to judge. But on this episode, we'll be kind of running through our initial thoughts after the first 5 games this season. We'll be talking a lot about Arsenal, a little bit about Chelsea as well. Taylor's got some things to say about that. And a few of the other teams as well, and how we feel they have been doing, essentially. After the first 5 games, what are our biggest takeaways? And as ever, have a look at the fixtures this weekend and also do in our red and white scoreboard section. All the time codes are in the description. But firstly, I think we're going to touch on Arsenal a little bit. Obviously, coming off a 0-0 draw, nope, 1-1 draw against Man City on the Sunday. Strange game. Taylor, what are your initial thoughts of the game?
Overall, just a dreadful game of football to spectate.
Yep, from the neutral.
My only thought was, I thought City scored early enough to make it an exciting game.
Mm.
But Cormac, I really want to get into, what are your thoughts on Arsenal and how they performed in that game and how they adapted to once City obviously shifted tactics? It was quite visibly obvious once City decided to, we're going to step back 20, 15 yards and just hold out.
Yeah.
And how do you think kind of Arsenal adapted to that? Because one of the things that are thrown at them constantly is they're so passive in attack, despite obviously having good firepower. Tell me for it.
Yeah. So like you said, there was the City, you know, Pep's in his park the bus era these days, by the looks of things. I mean, how it's got Burnley this weekend. Do they park the bus again this week? Who's to say? But when the lineups came out, obviously just over an hour before kickoff, look at the Arsenal one, and you've got the midfield of Marino, Rice, and Zubimendi. And you kind of, and there's no, and then also Trossard starting on the left of no Eze or even Martinelli. And your initial thoughts are, right, where is the creativity coming from here? Because you've got Rice, who is great at playing certain balls forward running, but he's not a creator. Zubimendi, the same, is great at dictating play, but he's not a creator. Marino, if you're going to win a bunch of midfield headers, he's your guy. Or what a guy crash in the box, he's it, but he's not a creator. I kind of understand initially, you know, in hindsight, looking at Arteta's maybe way of thinking, he probably thought City were going to, you know, come out a lot more and it would be a lot more about kind of long balls from Raya and second balls and going off that, which is why the likes of Marino were maybe there. That being said, it is a negative looking lineup. And especially when you got the likes of Eze on the bench, even Martinelli on the bench to an extent, and some of the other players there. When there's no Odegaard especially, I think you need a creator. And Eze, who we did see, obviously, in the second half, and Saka came on as well, but it completely transformed the game in a completely different sense. And I do feel like that first 45 minutes killed it for us.
I agree. I think it was quite interesting because I agree with your chat about the lineup and how it looked quite negative.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at that lineup and text you saying, that looks rubbish
for
the players that you have. And it's... Do you think Arteta kind of wanted to keep that game 0-0 for as long as possible? And then because Manchester City scored so early on in the manner that they scored, he almost wasn't quite sure. it almost felt like decisions had to be made, and there was two just obvious decisions, which are the substitutes he made at the beginning of the second half. And then talk me through how that kind of changed the landscape of the second half and how you guys managed to, well, do what you did.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think Arteta did want that. He wanted a slow game. He wanted a game with, again, he expected Man City to come at us.
Why does he want that?
I think it's the control. Obviously, we are so good defensively. And, you know, it was a nice goal. It was a really nice goal from City. Really nice break. Ryan just playing through Haaland. Haaland doing what Haaland does and just slotting the ball in. No real surprise there. It was a bit of a shock when it came so early. And it was, I think you could argue Gabriel maybe slightly at fault. He pushed up a little bit high, but I'm kind of nitpicking there. But yeah, we're so good defensively now. We have so many defenders. And we have such a system where we just can't be broken down, that Arteta wants that. He wants, you know, I think he was relying on City coming out, like I've said, and us sitting back. But then when City did score as well, City sat back even deeper and really weren't looking to create any opportunity. We're looking for maybe a break with Doku, for example, who I thought had a pretty solid game, actually, for City.
He did look good.
But yeah, like I said, when it was halftime, when Eze and Saka came on, it looked like a completely different game. Eze immediately getting involved, being able to dictate the play just a little bit more, play more direct passes, play
it quality,
through.
Didn't it?
Exactly. It just looked so much better. Saka as well has obviously just been out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. He's back now. By the way, Kay, obviously, I don't know if you guys seen today, it came out that he's got a knee injury and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks as well. So we're doing
Ryan and Boomer.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing a great job at rotating Saka and Madueke by simply having them both injured at opposite times. But yeah, completely changed the game. And I think anyone who has watched any football ever could have told you if Eze is available and fit, you play him.
100% agree.
And like, why was he not played?
Poor decision that was.
It was, I think it generally lost us three. No, you know, we did well. I'll come on to the goal in a minute. But it lost us that first 45 minutes.
We wasted 45 minutes. That was the comment I saw from, I can't remember which pundit.
Whatever, they're charity shop. Yeah. But they are right.
Yeah.
We did waste 45 minutes of just nothing, really. I think the first 30 minutes, I think it was, we created 0 XG. I think we finished with 0.88 or something. And again, that was with 68% possession or something that we had. I think it was the lowest possession that Man City have had in Pep's era of a game. So that shows you how they played. And again, they almost nailed it, you know.
Is it what you want from like an Arsenal point of view?
No, not at all. And that was the issue. The issue has never been for us scoring goals. It's really more creating the chances. And that's why we have people like Eze there. Madueke, who had a slow game, obviously, I don't think he was at his best. But that midfield doesn't scream creativity. And when we have options on the bench, when we have options on the bench, you know, so just reading off some people here, Eze, obviously, Lewis Skelly, again, he's an option even, but probably less so. Wanyeri, I think, is someone who can do something. And then obviously Saka as well. I think if Saka's fit, he obviously plays that 90. But he probably wasn't fit enough yet for the full
shout out Saka, by the way, because he's quite obviously your best player.
Yeah, absolutely. You notice the difference immediately. People, I think,
fouls in those moments where someone would get barged over, maybe we just lose possession. He'd get the foul. He's always driving, always looking for the pass, always looking for the return.
Absolutely,
so good.
Yeah, I completely agree. But frustrating game, worrying in a sense. At home against Man City. So obviously we scored that goal in the 92nd minute. I'm just going to double check that for you guys. 93rd minute. It was City running back to, most of you would have seen this, City running back to reset. Took a little bit too long. Eze to Martinelli, who came on the bench. Special shout out to Martinelli, by the way. Off the bench, back-to-back games, back-to-back game savers. One of them was a winner. Has been doubted. And I really want Martinelli to come good again, man. Because that one season 2 years ago where he got 16 goals, he was our best finisher.
Yeah.
And like, I used to be so confident when he was going through one-on-one. I always was like, I want Martinelli being that guy and want him to score. These days, I don't have that trust in him, but it was an amazing chip over the big Donnarumma.
Shout out Donnarumma, by the way, for making a really big bozo error. Because why couldn't you have done this against Man U anyway?
Us against in PSG last year.
Yeah, just because you're literally giving him no choice but to make the decision and making the goal as wide as possible for him in the last minute. Like, at least just don't do that and stay strong, because odds on, probably isn't going to score that as comfortably as in the flash of the moment, has to hit it, and it obviously got so much of the goal to aim at. I've got a question for you. You mentioned how obviously 2 years ago Martinelli looked on fire, top finisher, was someone you could just rely on and was having the output to match the talent that you were seeing. It almost feels like he's gone through the same evolution that Arteta's going through tactically, right? He's just losing that I forgot you guys were before you became defensively so good. You were before that attackingly so fluid and so just on it.
Exciting.
Yeah, exciting. And it very much seems that you've sacrificed so much of that attacking prowess for defensive solidity, which obviously I know the defense will probably win you the league.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried for you against the smaller teams in the Premier League because you're just so big, massive, so sound at the back. You'll get that goal through. That's where Mourinho thrives, isn't it? But you're right. In a game like this against the Cities, against the Liverpools, which obviously you didn't get a favourable result there, you just need that bit more than that defensive solidity because these games are decided in moments.
Yeah.
The free kick. Yeah. Absolutely. That ninth minute from Haaland. Haaland's massive. It doesn't really matter if your defense is massive. He's
Haaland's scoring against anyone. It doesn't matter who you are.
Exactly. So it's just, and they're the games which come the end of the season when you're 3 points behind top of the league.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, why are we there? It's because maybe just in these games, starting an Eze from the start, having that impetus to be like, you know what, we're going to go get these. Defensively, Man City have been rubbish.
Yeah.
So why not have a go at it?
It's taking risks, which we don't seem to want to do anymore. We don't, well, as much anyway. And Eze coming on, he looked like he was looking for certain balls to come through. Odegaard suffered with this as well. He's kind of always not played the right pass, played the safe pass when he's been playing. Saka's the only one that's ever really looked like he's been able to create
his own thing. Best footballers are the ones who just permanently take risks.
Yeah, and exactly. And it plays off for them because they are world-class football players.
100%.
And the likes of Eze can take these risks and play certain balls, and maybe sometimes it doesn't work. Bruno's an example of that.
I was about to talk about Bruno.
Yeah, well, like, you know, he's got one of those records which is like the worst pass completion rate or whatever it was. But he also comes up with 10 goals and 10 assists every season. Yeah, 100%. So
the best players are the ones who take risks. Bruno has countlessly just got a ball, swiveled, and just whammed it somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Hoping
someone's running onto it.
And sometimes it is frustrating to watch because, like, but sometimes he pulls up, you know, a lot of the time.
Something happens.
I think that's the biggest takeaway, really, is this how we're going to play all these big games now? I think this is a pretty clear sign that no, it's not, given that he did make those changes at halftime, which, credit to him, he did do it at halftime. I was worried we were going to be waiting until the 75th minute.
That would have been frustrating.
Really frustrating. And we took off Madueke, who's obviously injured, like I said, and also Mourinho. But yeah, frustrating game. Also, when we scored, I texted Taylor. I remember I was like, why are we running around celebrating? Let's get the ball and go. There was another 4 minutes left or whatever there was.
Yeah.
But let's go for that winner. Why wouldn't we? We're all over them.
But for every stat, there's also an alternative stat which tells a different story. Arteta is the first manager ever to go 5 league games unbeaten against Pep.
Yeah, I know. Which is very impressive.
Which is good. And, you know, you're still ahead of Manchester City in the table, albeit do I think now the gap between you and Liverpool being 5 points, I want to say, maybe.
Yeah, 5 points.
But it's interesting. So I'm going to kind of switch off from the game now and go on to Arsenal's season as a whole so far. Five games in, like we just mentioned, five points off Liverpool at the top.
Yep.
Faced some pretty big opponents now. You've come up against Liverpool, Manchester City, and you've also played the absolutely ginormous Manchester United. You've also played Nottingham Forest and dispatched them fairly comfortably.
Yeah, and Nottingham Forest.
Huh?
Ange is Nottingham Forest, obviously.
Ange is Nottingham Forest, which is objectively a lot worse already than Nuno's Nottingham Forest. And remind me of the other game that you've played.
So Man United was the first game of the season. Oh, hello. All right,
and you absolutely smashed Leeds 5-0.
That was it, yeah, 5-0. Cool.
So you've dispatched the two teams, which you would totally expect to do so, which is really good because, for example, from my club's perspective, we always fail against the teams.
Well, that was the issue last year. Those kind of mid-table teams where we weren't winning. Obviously, Leeds and Forest this year. Forest probably will be mid-table, but Leeds are going to be struggling to stay up, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, three tough games. United at home on the first day.
It's tough.
That win is a very big, is a big result.
Doesn't could have been how, a win for us.
It could be. It felt like it for United, exactly. Obviously, Leeds battered them. Liverpool, freaky free kick. And then obviously Man City and then Forest, whatever. So I think it's overwhelmingly positive how it's looked.
Do you reckon?
Just looking at Arsenal, I think the biggest concern is creativity still and being able to score. But the concern is Liverpool haven't been amazing in all their games, and they've managed to win every game so far in the league this year.
It's incredibly annoying.
So, you know, it just goes, that's what the standard is.
Yeah.
And if you are dropping points to Man City at home, which again, a draw is not the worst result in the world, but to win leagues, you do, it's cliche as it is, to win leagues, you win those games.
Yeah.
Which we did last year, we batted, remember, 5-1.
Yeah.
But I think also looking, Arsenal last year against this year's Man City. Uh-huh. We don't draw that game. We lose that game 1-0.
Yeah, okay.
We just don't have that depth on the bench, and we don't have the ability to come on.
Agree.
So there are positives. Like I think in terms of where Arsenal are at the moment, 10 games in, they've got another tough game this... Oh, sorry, 10 games in, 5 games in. They've got another tough game this weekend against Newcastle at St. James's Park, which is always a tricky game, as well as Port Vale on Wednesday night, which is... going to be a corker, folks.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Or today if you're listening.
Yeah, or today if you're listening, yeah.
Or yesterday if you're on Thursday. Who knows?
Let's go for every day of the next lifetime. But yeah, I think if, like, let's rate Arsenal's start of the season. I would give them a B.
We're going for alphabetical ratings.
I just feel like
it's funny because I was actually going to go numerical.
So was I, then I changed my mind. I'm going to go for a B, maybe a B plus. Lots of positives. You know, we conceded one goal from open play and then one amazing free kick. Defensively, we look amazing. Arteta seems to be the one who's anti-Arsenal at the moment, maybe, in terms of the way he's just not letting players go for it and the lineups he's playing. I hope going forward now we see a lot more of Eze starting. Mm-hmm. Saka's back. Manaweke being out is a real shame. Martinelli, keep him on the bench because he seems to be the best player in the world. He's going to win Ballon d'Or next year. Yeah, I think that's where we are really at the moment. And
I would be minded to agree. Do you reckon one day Arteta's going to die of like ego death? Eventually, the psychological warfare.
I know.
Well, this finally enacting on himself.
This is the season, right? This is the season. Yeah. I think if he doesn't win anything this year,
the bottle job surely like starts getting to him. Like everyone calling him a bottle job finally does start getting to him.
And
surely,
we should have won something in the sense of like, not that we've been unlucky not to win things, but we've been good enough to win things.
100%.
But we just haven't got over the line. So whether that is even an FA Cup, you know?
Yeah. I'd have to say C for you. If we're giving it alphabetical, because I just think you should have won one of the two games between Liverpool and Man City.
I think that's fair. I see what you mean. Yeah, that. I think we are. I think we're doing better than that because I can take a lot more positives away than negatives.
Yeah, I think Mascara looks fantastic. By the way, for 14 or 15 million,
you can see why Valencia fans were so fucked off.
Yeah,
they got rid of him for that long. Because I remember when we got him, I didn't really know much about the bloke at all. I knew his name, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
He's turned out to be a bit of a saviour, obviously. He didn't play.
He just kind of looks like, I can't really explain it other than just saying, kind of looks exactly like the centre-backs you already have. And and you already have pretty good centre-backs.
We do. Which is great. Not complaining there.
Yeah.
But yeah, an interesting one for Arsenal so far. Mm-hmm. But look at some of the other tables then. So do you want to touch quickly on Liverpool, I think? Like we said, we've just touched on them there very briefly.
Yeah.
But again, winning against Everton on the weekend.
Fairly comfortably.
5 wins in 5 in the league right now.
To do so with Isak and Wirtz on the bench as well. I mean, to be fair, they did win the league last season, so you would expect them to be a fairly informed Everton team.
Yep.
I say fairly informed, who has the same amount of points as Manchester United and Manchester City. So incredibly informed Everton team. And obviously, I think it was a bit tight towards the end once Everton scored a very good goal through. Was it Guy, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, it was.
But again, these are the emotional games where it could have gone either way, but obviously some people just get these ones right and others do not. And
foreshadowing, yeah.
To win without Isak and Wirtz is probably the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Because once Isak does start coming in the team, not Florian Wirtz, because his name is Florian Squirts and he sucks, but once Isak kind of gets going, you're adding another, you know, 2 goals every 3 games into that team.
Oh, God, I know. So, and like I said,
Ekitike looks so good
as
well.
He looks so good.
He looks so good.
Ekitike looks really good.
And I knew it, and we ended up with Šeško, and we wanted Ekitike, and Liverpool didn't even want Ekitike.
No, they got him because Liverpool told him to fuck off.
Yeah.
I know, and they're top of the league, 5 wins from 5. Obviously, we kind of touched on it last week with their last-minute goals. And we recorded that the day of them playing Atletico.
Yeah.
And then when I got home, Tex Taylor said, Liverpool, they've done it again. They got another 90-plus minute
when
winner.
When will this stop?
It can't go on like this. But yeah, Liverpool, I mean, they're absolutely flying. We're going to rank them all. Why not?
It's Liverpool, 5 out of 5.
A plus, yeah, 100%. They couldn't have asked for a better start.
You can't. And also, I think just by winning in the last minute is even funnier.
Yeah.
Like from a Liverpool, if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be reveling in it.
You'd be high on everything, wouldn't
you?
Moving on from Liverpool then. I think the only logical place next to go, Chelsea. Why not? I don't know. There was no logic in that. But
you're right. I will rate Chelsea's season. I think losing to a Manchester United team immediately qualifies giving you an F.
I mean, guys, by the way, we got 20 minutes into the episode almost, and there was no Man United chat.
On my best behaviour.
You can tell Man United have won this week because that would not have happened had the result been different on the weekend.
I could take a chill pill away from the nightmare that is. But yeah, I think Chelsea have had a indifferent start to the season. Drew to Palace, who were a better team than Chelsea.
Yep.
Should have lost to Fulham, didn't. Lost to Manchester United, lol. Remind me who else they've
lost
played.
To Bayern last Wednesday.
Lost to Bayern, drew to Brentford. Like they're just, yeah.
Big battle West Ham, but.
You know what? And as well.
Battle West Ham, my own.
Yeah. Chelsea, just there's so much I look at Chelsea and I hate to its core about what Chelsea have done and what they're doing.
You know, it's really funny. Quick side note: I saw there was a job going at like the head office at Chelsea,
really?
And I was looking at it. And I was like, "Oh, this sounds interesting." And I was like, "Hang on, digital footprint. How often have we just called Chelsea shit? And how often do we? How much do we hate Chelsea?"
Yeah, well, that's incredible.
I'd never go to work
true.
For that club unless you want to pay me a lot of money.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And it's actually very funny what Chelsea have been doing because they have been spending lots of money and amassing a investment bank's portfolio of players thinking this is how we do it.
Is how we do it.
But it ain't cheap. And they've spent over £1 billion. Keep just signing everyone. They've signed someone else and the transfer window's closed, which has actually enraged Strasbourg fans and has ignited civil war within the club. They hated them anyway. And then the season started for Strasbourg. They'd won their first three games and then their captain and their star striker posted a picture on Twitter of him holding a Chelsea shirt saying, can't wait to get started. And it's like, bro, what? You're the captain and the top goal scorer. Why are you moving to Chelsea? Outrageous. Oh, the fact that they just, I'll give you many reasons why they suck. Recalling Mark Gahey from Sunderland. Can't play in the cup against Lincoln tonight because
Mark Gahey?
Mark Gooey.
Gooey. Yes. What the recall?
You know, Gahey. Yeah. Can't play in the cup for Chelsea because he's cup tied because he played for Sunderland. Recalled him as a result of Jackson moving. And won't even get a game in the Premier League, won't play in the Champions League, and won't be able to play in the FA Cup until after January. So I'm really sure he's really pleased about being recalled back. Liam Delap obviously has been out for, you know, will be out for 2 months with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, he should be back. Yeah, hopefully not too long.
So it makes incredible sense as to why they spent £70 million on João Pedro from Brighton. Mm. But João Pedro is currently requested to not play last week against Brentford due to an injury. Has since played 90 minutes against Brentford, Bayern and Manchester United. So it's only a matter of minutes away before he pops something.
So something tears or whatever, yeah.
To spend £1 billion and have Robert Sanchez as your goalkeeper is nothing but...
I mean, we haven't spoken about it, but that red card on the weekend.
Yeah.
It's kind of Shambles. Classic Bozo Gene behaviour, really, isn't
For
it?
For as good as it is to have a good save in him, which he does, I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
There is so much wrong fundamentally with him as a goalkeeper. His decision-making is just overwhelmingly poor.
Yeah.
But
just completely takes out him. Yeah.
He's just a net negative across the season.
Well, you're
going to
say, you said you're spending £1 billion and he's your starting keeper, I think stinks. Obviously, they tried to get Mike Mannion, didn't they, at the beginning of the transfer window.
Mm-hmm.
And then that fell through for whatever reason.
Because they bid, I think it was £11 million for national goalkeeper.
They wanted like 40, didn't they, or 50 million, I think. But
If Chelsea had Mike Maignan and someone tried to buy him, they would quote £60 million. So mm-hmm. the bid £11 million.
He's still like, knowing Chelsea, he'd come and he'd be shit.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
The Milan goalkeeper. Yeah. I remember the Onana thing in my head.
Yeah. So to have Robert Sanchez in goal after spending £1 million, £1,000 million is
God.
That's outrageous. To have the defence that you have off the back of spending £1 billion is again outrageous.
Yeah.
Shout out Mark Cucurella for just somehow being the most dislikable human in the world. I don't even dislike him, but I can just see why everyone, when he plays against my team, I actively do dislike him.
Yeah.
Shout out Enzo Fernandez for being actually the worst human being to walk this planet.
He's so frustrated.
Just so good at it, brother.
Yeah. Should we run through that starting 11 with all the money they've got?
Yeah.
So obviously Sanchez in goal, Reece James right back, Fofana, Chalobah, Cucurella. Now, as a back line, that's fine. But when you contextualise it all, obviously, Reece James Academy, Chalobah, they had to recall from Crystal Palace. He's had a very good start. Cucurella is actually a good player, even though he is unlikable. Fofana,
£80 million that's had potential four injuries ago.
Yeah, I mean, the midfield is obviously a £250 million midfield of Caicedo, who is actually... Breaking news, guys. Very good at football.
Yeah, Caicedo is top five in the league.
But Fernandez, I think £100 million. He's not £100 million player, is he? He's a good football player and he's a good midfielder.
He's worth, in my mind, £35 million.
Okay, I think you're being a bit harsh there, but and then Estevao, Palma, Pedro Neto, and then João Pedro is your front. Like, obviously, Palma's great. Neto's a good left winger.
Show me this bench.
It's the bench where it really gets rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yeah, objectively, their starting 11 is fine. But
it's top four starting 11.
Yeah, but minus Robert Sanchez. But how often does a starting 11 stay a starting 11 over the course of the season? It already isn't because they've already lost Liam Delap, who arguably maybe wasn't in their starting 11 anyway.
Some of
Kudos to him for making that choice. but yeah, you jump to the bench. And like we were saying before the pod, their most experienced player in the Champions League is Gittens, who they brought from Dortmund for £50 million over the summer and has started in the Premier League. When he has, I watched him against Brentford. I knew this would be a rubbish signing and no one could have convinced me otherwise. And he looked rubbish and was subbed almost immediately. I was just like, this guy is not going to translate to success in the Premier League. I could have seen that from a mile away.
Yeah.
And I feel like they got scammed. Like we got scammed when we bought Sancho. No, it gave me the same vibe of like, I didn't really know what Sancho did when we signed him, but everyone seemed to be really hyping it up as if, yeah, no, this guy's good. And I feel like that's exactly translated into the scenario. Alejandro Garnacho, obviously £40 million signing for Manchester United in the summer.
He's starting tonight, by the way, against Lincoln. So
yeah, I'm sure he's really pleased about
Founders
that.
Level.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. And Tyreek George is such an interesting one because Chelsea were desperate to sell him.
They were trying to get rid of him all summer badly
because he's a youth. This is their bag. He's an academy graduate with Premier League experience. Who's pure profit on the books from an investment bank portfolio management perspective. This is absolutely electric. And they tried their best. And only after did Fulham have a bid accepted on the final day and it fell through the short 1 minute walk across the river, he's actually stayed. And he's actually been their most used substitute of the season so far. So the player they were so desperate to get rid of, and I'm sure once the January transfer window opens, if he ain't getting shipped somewhere in the Premier League, he's straight on that boat to Strasbourg.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But he keeps getting played. Chelsea. It's so funny because it's the only chance they have. You guys have no chance. Shout out to the away fans of the United game for being the worst away fans I've heard of United for a long time. Just one chant and you guys suck. You guys are just...
They were in the pissing rain and losing.
But you know what? United fans, when they're away, you hear them.
Yeah, United fans are good away.
United fans have top away fans, but we're still Manchester United section. And carrying on, we have Mark Gooey, just unfortunate. Gerald Hatto, I don't understand why these players keep signing for Chelsea, because Gerald Hatto is a
I don't even know what you're trying
to say. Yeah, a highly rated young prospect. Yeah, prodigy. Prodigy, yeah.
I don't know what you're going
to say. Yeah, that's the word I was trying to go for, but I was going to go for the extra version of that word. Anyway, I'm embarrassing myself now.
Lost all
authority. He was highly rated at Ajax, had amassed tons of appearances with the captain, was in that Netherlands squad. He's gone to Chelsea and he's just not going to start. I just don't think he's going to start. And he's going to get shipped out to like Seville in like 3 years for like 21 mil. Mm. Then I'm just like, I don't see a world where these players, because they paid so much more for like Wesley Fofana. If Reece James stays fit, he's staying right back. Mark Cucurella will be that left back. That's where they've been playing Gerald Hatto. And I'm just like, there's Flip Jorgensen. They've got 9 goalkeepers. Andre Santos, you know, he's probably worth something.
I've got nothing to say about Andre. I don't know who the hell Andre
Santos is. Andre Santos was loaned to Strasbourg. He got loaned to Nottingham Forest, didn't play, got loaned to Strasbourg, was in Team of the Year for the French League, had a good year. They actually could have probably made some money off him, decided to keep him as cover for Enzo Fernandez. And he'll just spend the season on the bench and probably sign against Lincoln tonight. But, you know, it's what kind of existence is that? Yeah. If you're a young professional football player, boys, stop it. You're just going to ruin it.
It's hard to say no, isn't it? Like, they're getting these 7-year contracts where they're on good money and they're young lads and they don't know, you know, they could snap their knees in half the next day. I get it from some of the perspectives. But the likes of like Garnacho, I would understand why he would want to go somewhere like this, because he's already moved.
I honestly truly believed it because he thought he could dunk on United so quickly and he didn't even play. And that is top, top notch on the X narrative scale.
But go on, give me a grading then for Chelsea.
If I gave Arsenal a C, I've got to go for a D.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Tottenham?
Tottenham,
I think you've got to give them probably an A minus, have you? An A?
No, because I just think the games that they've won. Man City, they always beat Man City.
Yeah, but, and, you know.
Yeah, they've done well. They've done well.
Still got to beat them.
Yeah, I'll give them a B minus.
Oh, that seems harsh.
Yeah, no, I just think they'll fall off.
I mean, Thomas Frank's been great for them.
Yeah, I like Thomas Frank. They look good. You know what? I'm still not over the Europa League final. That's why I can't be nice with them. I'm being honest, it's safe space.
You're going to show your face at the stadium this weekend.
Yeah, maybe I will be actually partaking in some Spurs activity at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. This weekend, going to watch the Wolves, Tottenham Wolves, should I say, game up north. So I'm going to start on all of
it. Oh, is it at Wolves, is it?
No, it's at Tottenham.
Oh, it is at Tottenham.
North London.
Sorry, yeah. up north, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Treacherous sort of, North London. Yeah. I think Spurs have looked, you know, so much better than they were last year. Mm-hmm. Thomas Frank's obviously changed them. The Ven looks great. Ramirez looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Xavi Simmons is kind of starting to find his feet.
Xavi Simmons looked good when he came on for Tottenham, which will be interesting. But actually, I want to talk about just probably the greatest thing I've ever said. And my team, my actual team that I do support, AFC Bournemouth, sitting nice and pretty in fourth place, as predicted by myself.
Yeah. If we take you back to when we did the league predictions for this season, guys, yeah. Taylor... Some say unintentionally, maybe now looking back, maybe it was intentional, has Bournemouth finishing fourth this season, which they are currently sat in fourth.
Yep. And I actually don't see them going anywhere. In fact, maybe third. But
why not? Yeah, drawing on points for Spurs and Arsenal.
I knew all those beers I drank were pushing me in the right direction.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And then special shout out to the podcast team, Crystal Palace, also in fifth, who are the unbeaten still this year.
Playing. Unbeaten in 16.
Yeah, I think it was 17.
17. Gosh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because and that's including a FA Cup win and a Community Shield win against both Man City and Liverpool. Playing Liverpool this weekend, so two unbeaten teams going at it this year, this weekend.
Yeah, look, right now, it will never be better than this ever again.
Palace fans are having the best time.
This is, you've got to just enjoy every minute. Don't think about anything. Don't think about Glasner leaving. Don't think about Margay leaving. Just enjoy it, because it won't ever be as good as this. And that's not a bad thing to say. It's just these are the golden times for Crystal Palace.
Absolutely.
You guys are fifth in the league. You guys look like you've got a good team. You've got a great manager. You're playing a good system. You're the only team in the league that has a play free at the back. It's insane. And
it's working amazingly.
It's working. It's incredible.
Yeah. Mitchell scoring overhead kicks. Like, why not?
You give me hope that the three back can work until we steal Glasner, because we wedded so much to a system. We sat down
really. Yeah, we've got no choice. Yeah.
Play three at the back. So well done, Palace. Shout out you guys.
Yep. Man City then. Let's look at them very, very briefly. Currently sitting on 7 points in ninth position.
I'm going to give them the same as United, which is a D.
You give United a D and City a D. Okay.
Yeah.
Why D for Man City, do you think?
Just think they suck. I think I've said it enough times on this podcast now. I ain't ever trying to go for a job in Man City. They suck. Mm. I just think...
Beat Napoli last year. Did beat United 3... Oh, last week even. beat United 3-0, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
Lost to Brighton, lost to Spurs, battered Wolves first game of the season, but everyone seems to be battering Wolves at the moment.
Yeah, I just think this whole new iteration... Everyone's so bothered about new iterations of Pep. I just don't think he's got a very good team to deal with. I think he'll get poked holes in as the season goes on.
Are we witnessing the end of Pep Guardiola's Man City?
Probably. I mean, look, he ain't going to do it for much longer.
Mm.
You know, if it's not this season, it's definitely after the next season that he's gone. I can't wait for that guy to go. So, yeah, I mean, again, do we need to go through the whole table? I mean,
No,
I'm
just going to pick out a few kind of key people.
Oh, I mean, it's the team I'm looking at, which is like, oh, that's...
I mean, the bottom three I'm intrigued by.
I predicted two of that three.
Yeah, you did. That's a good point. You did. I mean, Aston Villa, who are currently winless, and have only scored one goal so far this season, which came out
the
weekend.
And the thing is, they also look like they suck.
They look really rough. I think they'll even out, but I it looks like... And Emery's, I think, a good enough manager, but they've currently got 3 points after three games, which are three draws and two losses. They look really, really lackluster.
Yeah. And if you ain't scoring and you're conceding, it's not a good sign. They've just let go their sporting director, Monchi.
I saw that. Well, they brought in the Real Sociedad.
Very interesting. So I think by bringing in him, that shows that Emery's not going anywhere.
From what I know, that he's a very well-renowned sporting director.
Yeah, so. Everyone is. Until they're not. But I think getting rid of him after such a rubbish... Like, I told you, if you're signing Lindelof and Jadon Sancho and Harvey Elliott, you deserve to lose your job.
Harvey Elliott starting as a number... Not a number nine. He's wearing the number nine.
It's just disgraceful on so many levels. And I said it, someone has to lose their job. And this is the guy that has lost it. Yeah. Fair enough. So, that's, yeah. Sucks to be Aston Villa. You guys getting a big fat F.
I think so. Speaking of Fs, West Ham. Speaking of transitions, folks. Graham Potter is... Put your money on. He's the next manager to go, I think, without question. Mm. I think he probably could go even by the time this episode's out.
Surely honestly. He can't go until he has a lower win percentage than Ruben Amorim.
Has he got a higher win percentage than Ruben Amorim?
Well, as of last week when I told you that stat.
Oh, yes, of course you did,
We've now beat Chelsea.
Chelsea. They've got Everton at the Hill Dickinson Stadium on Monday night coming up, which I think it's going to be a tough game anyway.
You can lose. They're just a bad Premier League team right now.
They are. They really, really struggle. Bowen obviously being the only thing that's kind of keeping them afloat, it seems.
Yeah.
And then in slap back in the bottom of the league with five losses so far, see Wolves, who...
I haven't even heard of half their squad, and I would like to pride myself on knowing most people ever in football.
They've just really looked awful this year.
Yeah, and was to be predicted. You can't sell your best players, replace them with not top quality,
mm-hmm.
and expect to be okay. Like, that is a squad which will do well in the Championship, but it's just going to struggle.
Yeah.
So much, like, whilst five games, five losses is ominous.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, special shout out to all the promoted teams, by the way. Like, the likes of Sunderland in 7th, Leeds in 12th, and Burnley in 16th.
I think Burnley just not being flat back bottom is...
I mean, Burnley have actually been really unlucky this year. So you've got the likes of the United game, you've got the Liverpool game, that stupid handball from Hannibal. To kind of not get these points. I mean, they should be top of the league if you ask me.
Yeah, he's got Parker deserves it.
Yeah. So, no, he looks good, man. He's wearing a suit. He looks good. I'll always have a soft spot.
I will give him that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But go on, just to finish this off then, I'll kind of review. What's your biggest, let's say, takeaway or shock so far in the first five games of the league?
My biggest view is that 21 is coming to Manchester United. Okay, and then more seriously, I think it's really nice to see the trend broken that all the promoted teams aren't immediately the weakest teams in the league.
Yeah.
I also think it's really nice to see Bournemouth and Crystal Palace kind of upset the apple cart in the immediate. And yeah, I can't wait to see Manchester United drive up the league.
Yeah, I like that. I'm just going to give a special shout out to Everton. I never thought I'd say it, but I'm really liking Everton. I fucking hated Everton because of my friend Harry up until this point.
Yeah.
New stadium, Jack Grealish looking amazing. As a player, I'm going to keep talking, guys, if you bear with me, if you for those viewers out there. Jack Grealish is looking like a new man. He's just completely controlling that left side for Everton. He looks like the Grealish that was at Aston Villa. It's great to see. And I'm kind of excited to keep watching Everton. I mean,
I hope they do well.
Push, you know, maybe for European football, maybe that's pushing it a little bit.
Shout out Brian having a very mid start.
It's a very Brighton start to the season.
They'll sort themselves out.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Long story short, the Premier League do be Premier Leaguing.
It doesn't mean until the next international break, which is in 2 weeks, folks.
Oh, it's just devastating if you think about it. But,
yeah. But now, moving on to our favourite segment, the world-renowned red and white scoreboard, folks. If this is your first time watching, this is a weekly segment Taylor and I do where we predict five games from the week before, 3 points for the correct results, 1 point for the correct. No, hang on. 3 points for the correct score. 1 point for the correct result, and 0 points for everything else. Now, if you weren't watching last week, Taylor scored a big fat 0 points last week, and I had been leading by a decent chunk up until now. I think I was 7 points ahead. But it's been a bit of a change this week. We've had a little bit of an opposite week, let's say.
Oopsie-doo.
Just running through the games then, folks. Newcastle-Barcelona. I predicted 2-0 Newcastle. Taylor predicted 2-2. It was, in fact, 1-2, giving us both 0 points. Special shout-out to Marcus Rashford getting a double and scoring a beautiful goal as well. Fuck you and fuck all United fans who hate on him.
He was late to training, like, the next day.
Good on him. I was out in Belfast again.
Yeah.
So Newcastle-Barcelona, we both got 0 points for that. City-Napoli, I said 3-1. Taylor said 2-1. It was 2-0. So a point apiece. Liverpool-Everton, I said 1-1. Taylor said 2-1. It was, in fact, 2-1, giving Taylor maximum 3 points.
I do be dominating.
Yeah. Next up, Arsenal versus Man City. I said 1-0 Arsenal. Taylor said 2-1. 1-1, giving us both 0 points. And then Bournemouth-Newcastle. I said 2-1 Bournemouth. Taylor said 1-1, and it was 0-0, giving Taylor 1 point. I've got 0 points note down there, Taylor. That was cheating.
Cormac is cheating.
I am cheating.
Gentlemen. He's worried about what's happening. It's understandable.
It's been a rough week for Cormac. He's now talking about himself in third person as well to make it even worse. But for those who were not tallying there, I got 1 point from that. Taylor got a whopping 5 points from this week's folks, making the league table. Cormac on 18, Taylor on 13.
You know what? I did need that.
Taylor did need a big week, and he's come back with a big week.
Yeah.
I think so far, by the way, I think it's been taken in terms of who's won.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Obviously, me more.
Yeah, well, I mean, now I'm standing on business.
Yeah. I think I got a bit cocky last week with the 2-0 Newcastle, with the 1-1 Liverpool.
Yeah.
Season, I think I was...
Sometimes it does need a bit of recalibration. Yeah, you need a good humbling to kind of...
I absolutely do, but I'm back now.
Nil-point really hit me in the core. So.
Exactly.
But, I've learned all my lessons, and now I'm going to go outrageous again because I'm getting myself... some safe space.
Absolutely. Right, first five games this week then. As Taylor won last week.
Oh, I get to pick first. This doesn't happen very often, ladies and gentlemen.
Three of the games. Sorry, Mark. Being rather slow today, which is nice.
Okay, so I think...
Obviously, we've got some Europa League games on Thursday night as well.
Ooh, I might go for it. No, show me the weekend games first.
Have a look at Saturday.
Yeah. Have a look at Saturday. Have a look at Saturday. I'm going to go for... Oh, so many rubbish. I'm going to go for Chelsea and their other feeder satellite club, Brighton and Hove Albion.
Okay, I like it.
I'm going to go for... I just love a 2-2. I'm going for a 2-2.
I do love a
2-2. I do love a 2-2. Never, it's the least likely score in football.
I'm going to go... Brighton, they do right. They drew, you know what? They drew 2-2 against Spurs on the weekend, didn't they?
Yep. And they beat City.
Oh, so I think 2-2 doesn't sound awful. It doesn't sound awful.
It always sounds good though, and it never happens.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 to 1-2. So a 2-1
you go
to
for
Brighton.
A Brighton victory.
And
wow.
Brighton victory. So we'll see how that goes.
Either or, I'll be happy with both them.
I'd say so. Yeah. I'm going to look at some of the Europa League games which are on Thursday. So this is the first round of Europa League.
I completely did not know the Rangers were in the... I thought they got knocked out of the Champions League qualifying.
Russell Martin is going to win the Europa League.
Russell Martin is unbelievable. These sellers. I would love the job security of a Russell Martin or a Ruben Amorim.
God, he is so close to being sacked. I'm going to pick the Aston Villa one. Aston Villa versus Bologna.
So interesting side note, which I'll tell you once you've predicted. Marginal gains. I'm basically Sir Dave Brailsford of the scoreboard universe right now.
I'm going to go, I think Villa. 2-1 Villa.
Wow. A little side note on Bologna. They have lost Dan Ndoye this summer to Nottingham Forest. And also, they have a very upset Lucimi, who was almost close to signing for Sunderland. Last year, they lost Joshua Zirkzee, and they also lost someone else, which name has escaped me. and also happened to just play Aston Villa in the Champions League last year.
Lost
2-0.
Well, there you go then.
So based on all of that evidence,
I like nice little anecdotes. What are the podcasts you're getting Bologna?
Yeah, come on,
man.
If you don't want no baloney about Bologna, this is the podcast for you.
Absolute fire. Love
to follow on from my anti-pasty.
Yeah, I got a special shout out. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much. So yeah, to follow on from that, which I don't think I can, but I'm going to try. I'm going to go for a 2-2. I'm going to go for a 2-2. I like it. I like
another 2-2. All right, good stuff. Right, Taylor, your next game.
You know, when I've had a good week, I just learn how to watch it immediately. Okay. Show me Sunday games.
I mean, there's a big one there, but I don't know if we leave that till last, do we?
Yeah, we'll leave that till last. And then go to Saturday, Portsmouth. I'm going to go for Wrexham, Derby County.
Ooh, a little championship game. Yeah. 12:30 on the Saturday. Yeah. All right. What you got for me there?
I'm going to go for a 2-1. Wrexham.
Okay. Right, I mean, Wrexham have had a decent start, haven't they?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Am I looking at the wrong league table?
No,
I can't. I think Derby are pretty shit. One one.
Wow.
What did you say, sir?
2-1 to Wrexham. Very nice. I think Derby are in the relegation.
Yeah, I think they are as well. Okay, well, next game, final game I'm going to pick. I am also going to go back to Europe, I think. No, I'm not. Actually, I take it back. I am looking around. Let's go for Crystal Palace Liverpool, as it is the two unbeaten games, unbeaten teams so far this season.
Someone do be getting beaten.
You have to assume so.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2. Oh, no.
Oh, I should go first. Yeah, sorry.
You should go first. Look at me cheating.
Yeah. Feel like it.
Do it. You won't.
I can't make another 2-1, though.
No, go 2-2.
3-2 Liverpool, actually.
Wow. You know what? That sounds realistic.
Yeah, it does.
You know what? I'm just going to go 2-2. Surely.
One of them is going to come in.
Oh, dear. It's the week of the 2-2, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling it.
And then the final game, Taylor, I have half picked for you.
Yeah, no, right. I'm going to go for the Newcastle Arsenal game.
At St. James's Park. Big game. Very tricky game to call this one.
I'm going for 0-0.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cup town. That's a tough look at that there.
I am middle of the road.
I'm going to go for 1-0 Arsenal.
Wow. I feel like he got to.
Yeah.
I've just stopped picking United games because I hate them.
I know. I was tempted to, but I just, we're bored of it. Right. There you go, folks. Another week of that. I'm just going to run through the game for us one more time. Chelsea versus Brighton. I picked 1-2. Taylor's 1-2-2. We've got Villa versus Bologna. I've said 2-1. Taylor said 2-2. Wrexham Derby. I said 1-1. Taylor said 2-1.
Back my boys.
Palace versus Liverpool. I said 2-3. Taylor said 2-2. And Newcastle versus Arsenal. I said 0-1. And Taylor has said 0-0.
Kind of wish I said 2-2 now.
You should have said 2-2. You can change it.
No, I'm all right. I'm sticking to my guns.
I think 0-0 is a very realistic score. Right, check back next week, guys, and see how that's gone. We've kind of got, there's a lot of draws last week, and I think we've made that definitely rub off.
Just love a 2-2, man. It's a good game. Games, goals.
You know, last week as well, by the way, you predicted 3-2-1s in a 2-2. And some of these other ones as well. You haven't actually picked as many. First week you picked 2-2-2s. 2-2-2, certainly.
I think I pick a 2-2 every week.
Yeah, hasn't happened yet, it's going to be. Oh, no, it's a lie. No, it's not a lie.
Statistically speaking, it's due.
Yeah, it is. Well, speaking of what's due, more football this weekend. Obviously got some of the Europa League games, but we're not really going to talk too much about them until probably a bit later stages in the competition because we don't really have any stakes in them and we don't care. But the big one this weekend, I think, being Newcastle versus Arsenal and St. James's Park. Very difficult game.
Ooh, it is.
Sunday again at 4:30. Bit of a bogey result fixture for us over the years. It's always tricky going there. I think last year we got a draw. I want to say off the top of my head now. I will look at that. Newcastle haven't been amazing this year.
No, they need a win.
They do need a win. But so do Arsenal.
Well, you just need to win every week. That's guaranteed. Well, but then there's genuine pressure on Newcastle to win.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of pressure that you're both experiencing. There's the expectation for you. Whereas from a league standpoint, they desperately need to win.
Yeah.
Because otherwise everyone's just getting really far and ahead of them at this very early point.
Mm-hmm. If Liverpool, let's say, win on Saturday against Palace, they'll be 8 points clear of Arsenal at that time.
Wow.
Only six games in.
Having Arsenal already played you once as well.
Exactly. Arsenal will need to respond. Again,
it's actually a massive game. The Premier League's full of massive games.
It is. Which is wild to say because obviously, so I'm just looking at the results from last year and we lost 1-0.
That's huge.
So, yeah, it's going to be it's a huge game, which is wild in week 6 against Newcastle away. But those are the kind of games you do need to win if you want to win the league.
Got to be.
So it's going to be an interesting one.
I think the big battle, I always say every time Newcastle play anyone, it's the midfield.
Yeah.
You guys, it's big boys versus big boys, technical.
Yeah.
Zubimendi, Tonali, interesting. Yeah. Hope you don't start. I just hope he gets his lineup right. I can see him making the same mistakes he's made last week.
I wouldn't be surprised if he plays the likes of Marino in the field.
Yeah, 100%, because he's just
to have
like
that big body in there.
But just don't play as a be
brave,
proactive.
Let's hit them on the
against St. James's Park. They're prerogative. Just get against them. Mm-hmm. Don't let them come onto you. Go after them.
Yeah, exactly.
Silence that crowd nice and early. Get a goal.
Saka should start. I think Eze has to start. Eze has to start on the 10.
Yeah, 100%. Him not starting would be outrageous.
I think so. And then even Martinelli, I think, deserves a start based on the last 2 weeks and see if he can do it again. And then, you know, if we do need to, we've got the likes of Trossard that we can bring off the bench. And he's always 100%. A good option to have off the bench. But when you start Trossard, he just hasn't got the legs to take on. I mean, he's going to be coming up against Livramento, who's no schmuck.
Yeah, no schmuck indeed.
You know, this weekend got Brentford 12:30 on the Saturday at Brentford. Again, probably another must win for Ruben Amorim and his mighty Reds, as they are known. Coming off the back of that Chelsea result, which I think has given a little bit of a breather. But I think you need to keep going, because that game, like I think we were speaking off pod, but how much of an anomaly that was. Given the chaos of the red card, the keeper in the first 5 minutes, and the conditions, and Chelsea's weird decision-making from Maresca. How are you feeling about it?
That game against Chelsea, very much the exception rather than the rule. We won't face those conditions every week. And this is the exact type of game which concerns me the most.
Brentford away is not a tricky, not an easy game.
It's not an easy game. It's the type of game we would often lose, but I think because we went and stole their best player, we've now got to win, because...
Will he get booed in Buena?
Come on, man. It's like there's like 11 people in the GTED. Like,
oh, no, come on. It's a fine stadium.
It's like 12,500 people.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's really that small.
You Google. Nah, I might be making that. It might be 25,000.
I think it is. I thought it was a lot closer to like the 30,000. Oh, 17.2. Damn, it's not a lot. 17,250.
Taylor knows what he's talking about.
Always drive past it when you're going into London from the M4.
Absolutely mid.
My head was so much bigger than that. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
So it's it's imperative that we win, because we haven't won two games on the bounce in ages. And if we do win, it means we go into the Sunderland game thinking, oh my God, we could win three games in a row. And if we were to win three games in a row and go into the international break with 16 points.
Changes a lot.
The landscape looks so different. The vibe is so much different. The X narrative is finally changing its course. Yeah. But if we draw to Brentford or lose to Brentford and draw to Sunderland, he's got to get sacked. So this is just where we're at now. And the next two games very much dictate, I think,
whether he keeps his job.
Because we can all get a result against Chelsea in a weird scenario. Can we beat Brentford on a Saturday morning early kickoff? Set the tone for the rest of the weekend. Get ourselves up to 10 points. Get ourselves, you know, finishing around 7th or 8th. And then
level on points of Arsenal.
Yep. Go get that. Yeah, literally. And then go get that win against Sunderland and take us to where we need to be. And, yeah.
I think that's fair. I mean, it is, I think, we live in such a world where it's very, very possible that you lose to Brentford and you don't. I mean, Sunderland have been decent.
Yeah, Sunderland above us in the table.
And you get a result. You draw to Sunderland.
Man, you could win or lose to anyone ever.
Yeah.
As case in point against Grimsby. Yeah, so exactly. It very much, we need to just win both games. We also need to see Sesko do something. I liked his little header for Mbeumo against Robert Sanchez, which led to but outside of that, I'm just getting more. I'm just
laughing at that. Because the amount of shit you give Gyökeres. By the way, we didn't get to talk about that.
I can also give Gyökeres a hard time, and it doesn't all exist in a vacuum.
No, I know, but it's conceptual. It's fine.
But yeah, I'm starting to want to see something from Sesko, i.e. a goal.
He needs a goal.
Yeah, he got to get a goal soon.
But also, Amorim needs to trust him a little bit more. Did he come off at half time?
Came off at half time, but I understand. Because he was probably the least involved out of everyone else.
Oh, that was with the red card. Well,
shout out, yeah. Uncle Casemiro. You do make me feel a time away, Uncle Casemiro. And I appreciate it.
Red card and a goal. That's a classic Casemiro performance.
Scored that header, and I was just like, he's out the retirement arm. And he was like, bam, straight back at it.
Stupid second yellow.
Yeah,
huge. Yeah, but, what's one thing you want to see this weekend from United?
A victory. That's literally, I'm not asking for much. I don't care how we do it. It's got to win. Ain't going to be pretty. Get the points on the board. Like, points on the board will eventually turn like people mentally into it's working.
Yeah.
And it will look better. We're due to pound a team soon, because I haven't pounded a team, it don't feel like, for like 20 years.
Yeah.
So,
is it against Brentford this weekend? Probably not.
But Brentford aren't that good.
They're not. Bad man, they've been all right this year.
I know they drew 2-2 against Chelsea, but I mean, they're just above the relegation zone. You know, we said it at the start of the year, like, this is the type of team that you, having lost in Bumo, Vissa, and Frank, you're like, oh, could they be getting relegated? So, like, and they're starting off and they're kind of showing those signs. So,
yeah,
we can't be giving them.
Don't get me wrong, you should be winning, yes, but I just don't know if you will, because I just don't know how I feel about United. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yes, I know how I feel about them. I'm not going to go into it.
But I think that's a beautiful way, you know, talking about Brentford, to end the podcast. Thank you very much, guys, for another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard. All links for everything will be in the description. Check out our other videos, our shorts. Taylor has a bi-weekly newsletter that he does,
which will be hitting inboxes soon.
There you go. It's good read, detailed stuff if you're into all that nerdy football stuff, which we certainly are here. Like, subscribe, share, do whatever you can. Really appreciate it. We're trying to grow, we're just having a good time, and we start talking about football, so any help you can give us, we really appreciate. Taylor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gorbach,
and we'll catch you guys next week.